So last week, or actually, well, sorry, last episode, we tackled a subject that you just would you read out again the these really awkward way that I phrased it, which is quite accurate.
Have progressives proposed a novel system of semantics?
And I think that's the probably the most succinct and accurate way, but I eventually changed it before I threw the episode up because I was like, that's just not pithy enough. So I said, are we throwing out the dictionary? Which I thought hopefully would grab people, which I feel like is an overstatement. And I don't love exaggerating a point, but I feel like it once people listen to it, they'll go, oh, okay, I see what you mean. Sort of. I can hopefully forgive that stretch.
We do live in a very competitive world of marketing.
We do, man. So I engaged in clickbait and I feel sort of guilty about it. But we're returning to that subject just because. At least in sort of the initial outlining of it, we made it about halfway through. And I wanted to get to the other half because I actually think in some ways it'll make it much more personal, hopefully. And even more specific as we kind of generally tend to like go out into the clouds and move around and check the area and sort of find the circumference of a conversation often before we what is it, dive into the into thrust into the center of things. So let's thrust into the center of things, he said salaciously. He, meaning Brendan McNamara. Hello.
And he, meaning Andy Swindler.
Nice. And this is totally classic, where two people who love each other very much and share curiosity and love as principles of operation talk about things that people don't want to talk about. It used to be like, don't talk about religions or politics, which I think was a terrible credo that existed throughout our childhood, at least. Maybe it's still around. But now it's just like the enmity, and this actually happened, but the enmity amongst tribes has risen so much, especially in the United States, probably worldwide, to the point that talking about anything that you disagree with others can be seen and actually is directly can get you directly accused of being hateful. I don't think that's true. So we're gonna talk about things that piques our curiosity that some people may be like, oh, how dare you? How dare you? You're the one. No, you're the one.
They're definitely the one.
They're definitely, yeah, they're it's always them. It's always the they. So the re okay, how I wanted to get back into this was actually just to make this personal, and almost interview you for a moment, Andy, because I was thinking. And maybe I'm incorrect about this, but my thesis is there probably was a, I don't know if this is proper use of the term, but like an inflection point when the trajectory changed. I sort of felt this in the last conversation, but I never nailed it down. At some point in both of our lives, I think we probably agreed, where I'm going to find out in a moment I'm correct about this, that semantics operated sort of in the same classical sense. We probably held to the same essential idea that like, if you wanted to know what a word meant, you like went to the dictionary, and whatever the number one was is sort of the most fundamental definition of that word. And then as you go down, it's like, oh, then it kind of started being used this way. And then it was used this way 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, blah, 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 however many things there are. And then that was kind of how I, and this is possibly my misapprehension, how I thought, quote unquote, everyone did it. Now I know, of course, in the realm of like people who are professional semantics, like whatever, weavers of semantics, that there's, I've looked into it. There's really quite a few theories about how language is supposed to be hierarchically organized. But that was the classic, that is the sort of generally accepted one. So at some point, I thought, I feel like, and this is, I'm going to find out in a moment, this is why I'm talking too much. I'm afraid of the answer. At some point, were we on that same trajectory? And have I, putting it negatively for myself, like, have I just, failed to evolve into the next iteration? Or have we always kind of looked at kind of the semantics and diction and words in the dictionary in different fashion?
Well, if I heard you correctly, my interpretation of the dictionary is that the numbers matter, but I don't view them. I think I heard you maybe suggest it was sort of a chronological order. And to me, I imagine that with each printing of the dictionary, there was some effort to say, like, what's the current primary usage?
Oh, interesting.
It's, and I'm checking in with myself to see, would that have been true? Is that the answer I would have given 20 years ago? Curious, I don't know. I think so. But that number one to me was always like, this is the primary definition right now, according to this dictionary.
And I didn't grow up necessarily with the Oxford English Dictionary in my house, but that's how Oxford does it. And I just generally think they're the best dictionary because, like, when I go to Oxford, I mean, granted, you have to pay to use most of it, but they have citations listed. So they're like, okay, 1294. This is when this is the first at least written language. This is the first written usage thing we have of this. And then they track that. So then you can see that it was like chronological, as well as I think they do it every, what is it, every century, or is it every like 10 years? I can't even remember. It's an exhaustive thing. I never knew about the assemblage of the Oxford English Dictionary until I read the nonfiction book, The Professor and the Madman. And then I was like, it made me obsessed. I was like, this is the coolest thing. That was like, how is the assembling of the dictionary like one of the most fascinating parts when there's a madman in it? It was amazing.
I don't know much about the history of it. That's curious. But I have a ever since I've known about it, regarded the OED as the most comprehensive history of language. But it almost to me feels more like an encyclopedia of language, maybe than a strictly a dictionary in that way.
So I like that. And then I also think they're like in the medium, they're kind of a cent they feel centrist to me, maybe because I identify myself as a centrist and I like how they do things or whatever. Whereas Merriam-Webster is like a progressive dictionary where they rapidly adopt novel definitions. You're like, oh, if it's been in use, and Merriam-Webster is the one that does like the word of the year every year. So they're like, and I'll often for people our age now, I think this happens. They'll do the word of the year, and you're like, I've never heard that word. But they're like, we're adding that one in. You're like, wait, what? Like Merriam-Webster, I feel like makes, I think, now maybe I'm wrong. I feel like it makes most people feel like, wait, what? Like it's a little too flashy and new for me. It
That's how I
starts at
feel with the
like,
Oscars every year. I'm like, I haven't
yeah,
even
you're like,
heard
I don't
half
know
these movies.
this. Anatomy of the Fall? Is that
And now they're winning
real?
awards. Like,
Yeah, I'm so behind. So yeah, I feel like you
I need
have.
to offer a caveat. I said I regard the OED as the most comprehensive volume of language. I hope it's obvious since English is literally in the name of the thing that I mean the English language and not all language.
Yes, we will be speaking. I mean, obviously, once we talk about something like gender, then it in some ways it pulls you very specifically into other languages because English isn't a gendered language. In terms of that use of the word or whatever. But yeah, we're both speaking English. We are talking about English and we're talking about how people use English words. But at some point, do you feel like you've altered from that, or was there a point where you've like, oh no, now when I use this word, I mean it dominantly in the more recent usage? Like, for example, Merriam-Webster just like 2 or 3 years ago added systemic racism as like a part of definition of racism, which seems weird, right? Because systemic racism, it already says it needs an adjective for that. But they added that to the definition of racism. So when someone says racism, they now can like be like, well, no, this dictionary says racism means systemic racism, but it's very recent, right? But that's a dominant usage in, I know, in some circles that you rotate in. So it's like at some point, you must have had an inflection point from being like, okay, I looked at it this way. And then you're like, but now I look at it this way. Whereas
Yeah.
the novel proposition becomes primary. Even to the point of like not expl like not, you know, not having to explain it or whatever off very often.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I value about our conversations is I don't think I've ever checked back in with the dictionary when
Oh,
confronted
yeah.
with language that we might label as woke, progressive, language that is. I think the most generous explanation is attempting to offer explanations for aspects of our world and our society that are harmful that we need to draw attention to. That's I think that's my most generous explanation of why these words are changing or coming about. And I appreciate that you're like, wait, what? And not only just to maybe pause and reflect on why that exists to actually understand it better. That's like let's look at this through a couple different lenses. But also to represent the, I assume, millions of people who are like either just confused, like, what are you talking about?
I would assume
Or actively
that's most
resisting
of
it,
us.
like, that's not what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen that, and that, and the reason I brought this up as a topic is because I've had this conversation with so many different people, where then people just are like, "No, that's not what it means." No, that, like, that sort of thing. It happened a lot recently in terms of like talking about what the word "person" means, and even Merriam-Webster says "human individual." So then I was having a conversation about abortion. So a human being for the point of fertilization is a person, by the number one primary dictionary definition in the wokest dictionary you can find, human individual. Those both of those things are satisfied by from fertilization on. And people were like, "Well, no, that's not going to the dictionary to like tell me what a person is. That's ridiculous." And I was like, "Wait, I feel like it." So that makes me feel like a crazy person. So then I was like, "Wait a second. So there's an entirely different operating system here." So that's, to me, this is the thing we often talk about, where I think the way you describe sort of progressive and wokeism as a way to look at the world, I think is super true. And I think I was just talking to someone about this the other day, that people misunderstand that it's a lens. Just like CRT is a lens of looking at something. It's not reality. It's literally the lens choice. It's a wide angle lens. It's a macro lens. It's a blah blah blah. It's a filter. In some ways, it's even more of it's a filter. And so we can put all sorts of different filters. We can have 500 filters by which we view this scene, but it's not the scene itself. And I think sometimes people confuse the filter for the scene or whatever. Just, you know, in cinema, the same thing happens, right? That you're like, this is just what it looks like there. You're like, no, they put a sepia filter on this. It doesn't look, the desert isn't always deep ochre, you know?
Yeah, or we could
So,
use the map for the terrain.
yes, exactly. So, but that again led me to do you know an inflection point, or at some point did it just sort of occur?
Yeah, so I just it's it is a curious time for me to reflect on my journey because it's been 10 years. It really was 2014 when Michael Ferguson was murdered in Ferguson. Michael Brown, sorry, was murdered in Ferguson. And I think that hit home to me because it was in Missouri, and I grew up in Missouri. I didn't grow up right there, but within an hour and a half drive. And I just started paying attention. I just started asking questions. I just started saying, it moved in earnest to try to understand what was going on here. And that led me to, I would say, the extreme end of the movement. And I'm attracted to that for a variety of reasons. You know, like some of
It's
that is
attractive.
like it feels righteous. It can feel like fun to, I mean, even the
Yeah.
fun aspect of protesting. And I don't mean that to
Absolutely.
make light of it, but it's just like, wow, we're here in community and we're in camaraderie and we're out here doing something, and that's invokes a lot of things about the human spirit.
It is.
And there's a part of it that certainly I'm attracted to, and I imagine a lot of people are, of we talked about this quite a bit, like about being right.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's easier, in my experience, it's easier to feel right if I place a bet on a minority position.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
Or
that's very.
it's not easier, but it's like it's a bet. And then like the payoff is bigger if I bet
Yeah, oh, it definitely
minority
is. Yeah.
position and
Yeah, it's an underdog. Yep.
it turns out to be quote unquote right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh, yep, that was it.
Yeah. I'm attracted to that as well, so I totally get that.
So to more directly answer your question, I don't know exactly when, maybe somewhere at the halfway point, maybe somewhere in the last 5 or 6 years. Let's see, is that true? 2018 was a really big year for me in this. So maybe about 6 years, I think was when I was really paying attention to language. And I remember this distinct moment. I was actually speaking at a conference about diversity, and my talk was about the white man's place in diversity. And that was a huge moment for my journey, and just like, not necessarily notoriety. I mean, that was nice, but just in my own actual growth and development and understanding. And then it was interesting to come back to semantics, because I'm noticing people on stage referring to the entire audience as guys. Oops. And then I was just like, so in a way, I hadn't thought too much about this, but I guess, you know, we're both writers, and I'm like, I guess I've always really paid attention to the language in a different way. You know, I've had certain keywords sort of pop up for me and wonder. And that's one I've heard so many people complain about, like particularly when white men say it. And I'm at this conference and it's women It's actually a conference for women. The organizer of the conference is a woman calling everybody guys. And I think that was probably the first moment I broke a little in a really healthy way. Like, oh, like they're human too. Like they don't have all the answers. And there isn't, like, I was still searching for the script. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it wrong. And I'm searching for the script, which I think is like a fundamentally different way you and I approach things like this, where that's a little bit of fear-based, like I want to belong, probably. Like, oh my God, like I'm using the wrong lingo. I want to belong. Where you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. Like, I'm going to put on a couple different lenses and check
Yeah.
to.
Well, I go back to the Vanguard thing of like, I'm attracted to the underdog thing. So in any scenario, there's a new underdog. So then if you're in that schema, and if everyone's saying it's that, you're like, I don't think so. I'm going to go ahead and bet on the underdog again. I'm gonna like, I mean, it's the minority here. I might lose the vote, but I don't care about losing the vote. Like, again, I do want to be right. I think being right is actually the most important thing. It's more important than being kind or anything, because then you can't functionally love anyone unless you are correct, because then you're going to love them. You're not going to love them really. You're going to end up like mistreating them, because you're a little off center. You know, it's not even put, it's not quite the put your oxygen mask on first, but it's literally just like knowing, are you in a plane? You know?
Yeah. And then just to put a button on that, it's the journey is hard to pinpoint too many aspects of it or with regard to language. But I can speak to the word racism, because being introduced to the more extreme ends of this movement, I mean, they had basically completely adopted a new definition of racism, which is systemic racism. And therefore, so did I. I had to bring myself back, because I was developing workshops and which, in fairness, I had actually gone out to see. Like, I actually called anybody I could, talked to anybody I could, interviewed people, looked at different systems. There really wasn't much available. I kind of got the door gently closed a lot of times, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll just go invent my own thing. Like, I don't necessarily want to do that. I want to respect the work that's out here. So that's maybe a whole separate topic. In developing those workshops, I ended up realizing, wait a minute, I adopted a dual definition. I said, oh, I understand the systemic racism thing, and there's a personal, interpersonal definition of racism, which is a classic definition, as you bring up. And that was important for me. And because part of the point of a workshop is to relate to people. And if they're just like, well, like we're just immediately in battle about the word racism, like that's not helpful. So I found that to be beneficial in what I was work doing and putting out there, just to say, well, there's two ways to look at racism.
That's interesting. So how did you feel in the moment? Because, okay, this is, how did you feel in the moment when that novel proposal was primary? And I don't know if you ever experienced it, but I've experienced it many times where people will just say outright that the original, and still, I would say, probably the dominant understanding of what racism means to most people who speak English isn't racist. That's not what racism is. And that's the thing I've noticed, is it's not, it's saying there's a denialism that happened very early on when I first started encountering it. They're like, that's not racism. This is this whole like, black people can't be racist because they don't have systemic power. And then I was like, whoa, wait, this or that. But I was like, but that's, and then I could go to the dictionary and be like, well, no, that's not what the word is meant. Look, since 1600, and actually look here now in 2020, people are still using it that same way all around us. And so there's this weird, like, I felt manipulated and gaslighted by that. I was like, and so I immediately was like, how could I ever, this is difficult. Like, how do I trust you as a person? Meaning you're premising your argument on a novel definition and you're saying the other one doesn't exist. And we found this, I sent you that MIT article about gender. And I'll share this out on my stories, Instagram stories, if you want to read it. It's really cool, interesting, where it talks about gender being invented in the essentially in the mid to late 1900s, which is factually inaccurate. The whole, it's an MIT published thing. It's a thing. So I was like, I saw this so many times. It's been used to mean classifications of men and women for since the 1400s. So they literally just pretend they're just gaslighting the crap out of you, being like, that's 500 years of stuff that didn't exist. And now I understand you're trying to propose a radical theory, but what I found was disingenuous and made me very like put me in combative mode. So I was like, oh, you're trying to fight something. Or oh, you're trying to basically you're trying to trick me now. Is this sort of denial of the legitimacy of that which is evidenced in favor of that which has evidence, but it just has less evidence. So then I, as a human, I was like, I can't, again, maybe I'm a little autistic, but I was like, I can't, no, that sends me into like a deep, unless we're just doing this as like an exercise. Again, I'm an actor. I could pretend to be a tree. I could pretend to be a newt for 45 minutes. Really not that big of a deal for me. But if someone's like, oh no, this isn't art, this is real, then I feel like, wait, am I on a prank show? Like it put there's too many options. I guess I go into like what's the option paralysis where I'm like, wait, there's like nine different ways for me to respond to this, but I can't tell if you're being real or not. And then finding out a lot of times people were being real, even though they were saying something that was less real than the opposite of what they were saying. So then that's my confusion. It's like how, and maybe because you are face to face with people, this is easier because I've had most of these conversations in the virtual form. Figuring out like what this person is up to when they say that like that's not like what is racism, the word in English, isn't racism. Like that was the part I was like, well, wait a second. What? I don't how, yeah, I don't how did you, I guess this is why I want to learn you. How did you meet that out? Like how did you not go, wait, you're trying to manipulate me?
I think I was so insecure. And some of that's valuable, beginner's mind, humility.
Yeah, humility is hugely important.
But there was also an insecurity that led me to, I don't know, probably not question enough. I don't know. I don't want to judge it because I think it was valuable to be in that just totally open sponge mode.
Yeah.
In that mode, I was just like, oh, I
I
had the wrong
didn't.
definition.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So, that was where I started. And, something you said, it's, I don't know if this is a tricky gray zone or something, but you make me think of Ibram X. Kendi, who would say that Black people can be racist. He's very rooted in the systemic racism version. So to him, it's like, you're racist if you're not actively being anti-racist, aka changing systems.
Well,
And
and this is
I
one of the sips. This is one of the systems, I guess. This is saying that semantics, classical semantics, are then the bad part of the system. But I'm like, what are you going to replace it with? Then whatever's the newest wins. So then I was like, how does that doesn't seem to profit, right? Because then that just that what's the word? It elevates or prioritizes anyone who can most aggressively get a new definition rolling. So it actually privileges authoritarianism, whereas I think having prior evidence, when people go, here is the way, and this is the new thing, and you get to go, no, that's not like. So I was like, this is the problem, is like it removes, and again, this is the fear, this is fear talking, obviously, right? But it removes the defense of the powerless in favor of the powerful, while saying that's that here to benefit the powerless. So that's the part where I'm like, wait a second. And no, and again, this is a hard thing. This is why I want to have the conversation with you, because I feel like quote unquote no one, but relatively no one is having this conversation. And I was like, and this is the under conversation of so many issues, gender, race, misgender, blah, 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 all these words, abortion, same thing. It's like, wait a second, we've departed classical semantics, but I don't know, like, why would that, like, what is the benefit of overthrowing that system of what has the most precedent use and what is still in common use? Like, wouldn't that see that to me, just ethically or rationally, that seems like that would actually be the better one and the most best equipped to resist colonial impulses of the new minority comes in, they're the loud ones, and they just say, how the way you've been doing things for 400 years? No, it's this. And so I was like, okay, well, that's how colonialists did it. They came in and you're like, no, your language is wrong, your culture is wrong.
Yeah.
And they could be right. I'm not saying some colonists weren't didn't get rid of cultures that sucked. You know, I'm open to colonialism. So again, if they're trying to colonize something that sucks, which would probably be the ultimate argument.
That is the argument. Yeah. That the argument is it's 400 years of harm for certain groups of people primarily. And those I think a more mature discussion would be like a more it's actually harmful for everybody in a variety of ways. And so we need to act aggressively to shift into a more, you know, healing space and to shift any system that is causing harm. And I mean, again, part of the value I get in our conversations is you remind me that you know, I come, as we've talked about, empathy, hopefully care. Depends on how resourced I am, but I'm also an entrepreneur who's done a lot of marketing work. And I actually have a degree in communication. So the study of how humans communicate and collaborate and get things done together is, and I think it's fascinating to both of us. And
Oh, yeah.
we look at it different ways. We've had different experiences. We have different sort of credentials, if you will. And I now see that this is not a winning strategy to aggressively
The aggressive part,
insist that everybody changes their language. And if they don't, they're the bad guys.
So yeah, because what was the, I guess this is my question. Racism sucks, totally on board. Classical semantics sucks. What, why? What, that just seems random to me. You know what I mean? I was like, well, again,
Well,
this is like getting your SATs or whatever. You know what I mean? You're like, we just don't like it. You're like, just
so
look at what happened. Look at what happened later. But you're like, okay, but we're later than everything. And everything that you're proposing, we're later than that too, because we've tried all this. There's nothing new under the sun. No one's actually making any real, like, novel proposals of how we're going to conduct ourselves as human beings. We're just trying to pick and choose from things of the past. So everything led up to where we are now. And I was like, wouldn't that be safer then? Because again, this puts it back into the priest. Again, I'm a Protestant. So Protestant Reformation is like huge in my shaping of how the world should work. So what the proposal is to reject, quote unquote, what has been working. And the problem is it installs a new system of priests. This is kind of my same problem with intersectionality. It installs a new system of priests who they are the grand interpreters by virtue of their marginalized identity, or in this case, in their aggressive denial of prior semantics and introduction of new semantics as primary, they are the ones who dictate what everyone else does. So I was like, so it's a priest, it's a return to the priest, it's a return, it's a Catholic Church thing, as opposed to a Protestant Reformation where everyone has access to information themselves and then can each in their individual hearts and consciences access that information, assess it, bring it forth. Again, this is like all, but of course I'm informed by the Enlightenment, I'm informed by liberalism, all this knowledge, like where I've grown up and that sort of thing and who I am. So then I was like, what, wait, what was wrong with the previous system that needs to be revolted against, where we just went to like what came first and what is the most dominant usage of a word in terms of like what words mean, like what, like, yeah, that's like, how did that cause harm for 400 years, like using words as they've been used.
Well, I mean, it might be a whole other episode about the connection between colonialism and language. There's a TED talk I saw where one guy's estimating, or maybe a group of folks are estimating that something like 6,000 languages will die by the end of the century. And, you know, English, and it's, I think we were both fans of Firefly, you know, and in that sci-fi reality, it's sort of this amalgamation of English and Chinese, although, you know, they swear in Chinese, so you could argue, hey, that's racist, but I don't know. Or we give the Chinese all the fun words. I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of my approach, which was to say, you know what? We need to bifurcate this definition. I'm not going to show up and insist that you use a new definition of racism as a single word, but I am going to show up and say, oh, there's something else to consider here. There's an expansion of this. Because to me, that was the core argument was, oh, if we just focus on interpersonal race, what I call interpersonal racism, which is, I don't know, probably the most obvious would be like calling somebody the N-word. That, some people would argue like that's not what we care about at all. And it won't hurt my feelings, or it doesn't matter if you hurt my feelings. I'm sort of like, question that, but I think that interpersonal care does matter. How we treat each other does matter. And I don't think you would argue with that. Like, you're not here to say racism is good. You're just here to argue for the definition of what it is. And what I'm labeling now, but see, I added a modifier, like, which I had to say. And so I'm wondering how you feel about the approach of saying, look, let's talk about interpersonal racism, aka the classic definition of racism, and let's talk about systemic racism.
I would say I like it, and then all I would ever do is edit it to be mathematically accurate as best to our best of our ability. Meaning, if you bifurcate it, and let's say the gender is probably a better version, but because there's so many more, there's like 15, 16 definitions. But let's say racism has five or six definitions. So bifurcation would be a similar version of the same thing of elevating the novel definition to close to primacy. And that would also not make
It's
any
almost like
sense.
two. I was suggesting there's two number ones. Yeah, right.
Whereas you're like, okay, so let's take one seventh of our mind and pull it over here, and let's consider how racism, the thing is, I say it's still not racism to me, but it's how racism manifests is then what you're talking about. Not what racism is, but how it manifests, and that it manifests, it has to start from the interpersonal because people make systems. So then it's look how then that interpersonal racism can become reified, put it into policy, put it into bills, put it into corporate policy. This is a redlining, blah, blah, blah. Whether redlining is racist or not is a completely separate argument. It seems more dominantly classist, but I think there's enough evidence to suggest it has been applied in racist fashion in the past. And maybe even now, who knows? But yeah, that's the only thing I would do. I'd be like, well, but again, I'm like a let's be concise about the mathematics here, because I think that's the I think I don't know when this happened, but at some point in my life, I started being like, I don't like compromise. Early in my life, I didn't like it, and then I was into it, and then I was like, no, I was right the first time. Compromise is a bad idea most of the time, and I know a lot of people love it politically. You're like, ah, but it kind of keeps things copacetic, and you're like, but isn't that the problem when we're copacetic with things? Can we really just like. And this is the thing of radical proposals, and I like radical proposals. You come in with a radical proposal, and then the more radical your proposal is, the more you win in compromise. This is why I just don't think compromise is a great idea, because I can come in with something super radical, and for you to meet me halfway, all I have to do is say something twice as flipping crazy, and then I win the compromise, you know? So, and as becoming a semantic conservative, I'm much more like, well, no, we won't compromise at all until all the evidence is in or whatever. And this is the, it's really the Enlightenment and blah, blah, et cetera, where it's like, so then the proposal, I think this is why I think woke or progressivism is so radical. And I think this is why people don't talk about these more radical aspects, but I was like, it is so radical that people don't understand how radical it is, because it's a proposal of the topsy-turving of scientific endeavor. It's Especially at present, it's sort of antagonistic to, thanks to critical race theory specifically and identifiably, definably by their own testimony of those who invented it, the lens. It's antagonistic towards liberalism and enlightenment rationality. So this is a we are talking about quote unquote Western culture generally trying to flip it upside down, or even really trying to. Flip upside down a particular interpretation of Western culture, a lensed view of Western culture. So I was like, this isn't just like, hey, let's just start treating people nice. Really has nothing. It's that's part of it or whatever, but that's the Venn diagram overlap. So then, I think over time I've been less and less into compromise in terms of like, oh, let's just share your new idea and our old idea together equally. You're like, well, that's not fair, because then that's just taking, let's say, the middle. And then adding a 10% or a 5% to it, and then just being like, okay, and so let's pay half. So the 5% gets half. It's almost like electoral college, right? The 5% gets half, and then the 70% gets half. And you're like, well, wait a second. This is like dividing up Palestine. You're like, wait a second. How come? Why do you get so much? You just got here.
Well, so check this out if you can pull up
Good.
this link,
Yeah.
which is probably easier than a screen share. It's funny this never came up, and this well, we could probably have a whole episode on this. So what I'm sharing is
Yeah.
in heading into 2019, as I said, 2018 was this big year. I was on stage. I committed to actually starting to host workshops and whatnot. I developed a workshop, and these are the handouts.
Awesome.
This is like the follow-up handout. And on page
Yeah.
three, I have an entire page of what I call allyship essential terms. The framing of this was agile allyship. Gosh, I can't.
I like that.
Agile allyship.
It's hard to say, but it is catchy.
And it'd be fascinating to go through this in more detail. But if you zoom into racism, and in fact, I'm even adapting my language. It's here today, I've been saying interpersonal. And back in 2019, I said individual racism versus systemic racism. So I said individual, I defined it as a prejudice. I can't say anything this morning. Prejudicial attitudes and discriminatory behavior toward people. And systemic equals prejudice plus institutional power, economic, social, political equals oppression.
Well, yeah, that's well, see, that's interesting because then I'm almost just like the systemic from that one. I'd just be like, why do you even include systemic? Because then it's just all that is this individual amplified. Like it's not even different necessarily. Like that would just be,
I think it.
but I see, but that doesn't see that doesn't define the word that you're just saying here's two manifestations. I think it'd be very different if you were like, again, black people can't be racist, whatever. It's like one of the, it's just it's silly. It's not real. It can't be real. You're like you can't be racist by a brand new definition of racism. You know what I mean? Or the same thing with the gender, right? Someone can change their gender. Cool. By the newest definition of gender. Okay. But so yeah, but
So
I like
what I
that. I
think is
like the
important,
division.
is to orient us, and I do think it's a mindset shift. Like thinking about how two people interact is different, not only a mindset shift, but a set of skills. Like I work with folks who are amazing at what equity work, the equity and DEI, and that's like really digging into like policies and hiring procedures, and how are you recruiting people, and really nitty gritty kind of HR stuff. Like I'm not even really qualified to do that. It's a very certain set of skills. But I really, really appreciate the people who do that well. And
I wouldn't even want to do it most
honestly,
of the
no, it
time.
doesn't sound fun. I'm much more on the holding space end of things, which I would say is more the I and DEI, the inclusion, the how are we together, the belonging,
Yeah, let's be
where you go
here.
stretch to DEIB, for sure. But it's but there are really weird old policies lurking everywhere, all which way, so I think that's, to me, that's the orientation that matters. That's the point of it all. And yet, if we're just getting tangled up on the semantic piece, then we're not going to get there. So I appreciate that. I wouldn't resist how you suggested. And the formatting, by the way, is kind of the words, I do them progressively. So it's like bias, prejudice, discrimination, racism, and then it's like a bullet that's worth saying to our, listening audience. And then it's like two bullets underneath racism for individual and systemic. So I think that's a very reasonable interpretation that you just made. Like this is how it manifests. I wouldn't push back against that if I were leading a workshop. I'd say, great, let's move on and start talking about the systems.
Exactly. That makes sense. Well, that's it. Yeah. Well, that's the interesting. This is the, and this is why I was excited to talk to you about it, is I was just like, I still find it I'm very suspicious of the fact that this conversation isn't really being had and is forcefully being shut down. So anytime someone wants to shut a conversation down, just like when I was a child, if you walk near a building or whatever, or you're in your own house and your mom and dad are somewhere and you like walk nearby the room that they're in and they shut the door, whatever's behind that door is the most interesting thing in the house immediately. So likewise, if anyone goes, nope, gonna shut that door, we're not gonna talk about that. I'm like, cool. That's number again, this is how drama works, how comedy works. That's 100% what we're gonna talk about. And so I was like, this is a system that people enforcing novel semantics have created by being like, nope, we're shutting that door. You can't look in there. And you're like, oh, okay, well, we have to look in there. And I think people are arguing about terminology so much now. This is the whole problem with the like DEI moment, where you're like, people's protests, they're like, DEI has nothing to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's just a brand, that's branding. It's the same thing like Head Start. Head Start program's great. And you're like, oh, actually, it hasn't been working. You're like, what? You don't want children to have a head start? You're just like, okay, come on. Red Bull gives you wings. Like, it's a sloganeering, right? And so this is the, I mean, I think semantics are fascinating. Some people get very bored by them very quickly. But like, likewise, like equity or whatever, equity has been redefined as, you know, equality of outcome. That's a brand new thing. And so many of these things have been like stealth. And then now people are arguing about them and now it's taken years. There are literally, people have been arguing about what equity means for years now. I've seen it. I've watched people do it for like 4 to 5 years where, and it's, you're just like, this is like, by not talking about the semantic upside downing, topsy turvying, and I don't know, again, I'm a word nerd, so maybe people just thought it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, I don't even agree with that definition. I'm like, what did I put in here? I don't know if I know. I don't know if I had equity. But
I don't know if it's in there. Yeah. But we shared this early on. Well, because early on you were like, no, it means equality of opportunity. Right. And I was like, look, and I literally sent you like 6 links from DEI things. And I was like, no, I mean, at least in terms of all these DEI programs, it means, and the vice president said it and blah, blah, blah. And Bernie Sanders got corrected on it on CNN. You know what I mean? So I was like, no, it's like, so then it's there's so many words now where we're creating these languages in terms of, and this is really just, let's be honest, my assumption is 300 million people in the United States are still just using whatever the old definition is because no one cares about altered semantics.
And that's my
basically
same assumption. And it's like, okay, then that's why I say the strategy is not working. And it's like, look, I'm all about the passion and I'm all about the change. And I agree with a lot of this. And it's like, we do have to look at the strategy. We have to be strategic. If real harm is being done, strategy is an act of care. Because that's actually going to get us to the goal and not sort of keep us tangled up.
Yeah.
And I did actually. And by the way, these were sort of various ways and from folks. I didn't invent all these definitions, but it is just, it was 5 years ago. So that's, I don't know that I would agree with every single one of them, but that's a glance. I'm like, oh, actually it seems good. So for me, equity was modifying systems to redistribute power and access since people have different starting points. And again, that's a little too fuzzy. I would want to like dial that in more so, but kind of go either way on that. You could be like, oh, that could be like opportunity or outcomes, but
and it makes it different. This is the thing for the poor implementation people. It makes it next to impossible to implement because you have to assess people individually, or you're going to end up being racist. You're going to just classify them by their race. So then you have to individually figure out where everyone started from. I mean, listen, it's a great plan to do that if you can do it on an individual basis.
Right. But, if you really had the accuracy of the metrics.
Yeah, because you have to, or else what are you talking? Then you're just doing racism again. And let's not do that again. Let's not make that mistake. But then you can almost see why racism took hold, because it's easier. It's so much simpler, right? If you can just be like, I don't know, you people are like that. You're like, all right, well, you definitely, in terms of your left brain and right brain communicating, I mean, it certainly functions fast. And if you prioritize efficacy, then by all means, be terrible. So let's bring this in for a landing the next couple of minutes. I want to say one more thing. So, or ask you one more question, because I think we've come to a good understanding. It's helped me a lot. Douglas Murray, who's like a, I don't know, a centrist, but a champion of the West, I think he fashions himself. He talked about this whole premise ultimately of sort of anti-enlightenment or antagonism towards the enlightenment, or enlightenment rationality and liberalism, which is sort of, I wouldn't say all progressives, but it's prevalent amongst the progressive cohort. He framed it this way. He said, if they can get you to bend the knee on that, this sort of like what I consider gaslighting, where influential institutions try to tell you that something that exists doesn't exist, and the new thing is the only thing that's ever existed. If they can get you to bend the knee on that, they can get you to bend the knee on anything. Do you think that's part of the intention, maybe in some ways the revolutionary intention? Or do you think that's ascribing a degree of authoritarianism or malevolence that you don't see evidence of, or that you see some evidence of, or whatever. That was like the last. I was like, is it as malevolent as I feel? Like, it feels like intuitive. It feels completely authoritarian and malevolent to me. So then, but I was like, well, but my intuition is only part of the package. I want to look at, let me be reasonable about this and talk to people and explore it and blah, blah, blah. But what do you think of that? Like, is that present here?
And yet your intuition is 100% true. I really do believe most people want a less harmful world. Most people doing this kind of work.
Yeah.
How they go about it could be argued. Have I seen enough hypocrisy in the movements? Have I been harmed enough to know that, oh, we're actually all just humans fumbling around and trying to do our best?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, gosh, maybe it's a whole topic for us. It's like, what is malevolence? Is it, because if you're, my whole thing now is about trauma and healing. So it's like, man, if you're unhealed enough, then that could be expressed in a way that certainly could be interpreted as malevolent and harmful.
Yeah.
So is there an urgency? Is there a sharpness to it? Yes. I mean, I see that a lot. Is it rooted in, if the question about malevolence is just like, I hate you, or I want something bad for you, and that's why I am insisting on this definition?
Yeah.
That's a few jumps for me.
Okay. Yeah. What about just bow the knee? You must.
Well, that risk is real. And that's my greatest challenge in my growth through all of this, is just to say, and what you and I've talked about a lot, if you just really look at, like you said, nothing new under the sun. We're humans. Our DNA hasn't evolved in any recent timeline. nothing compared to our media and our awareness of each other, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so have I seen enough behavior that convinces me that all of these systems would reproduce themselves, under different looking leadership, without healing and scrutiny and care?
Yeah,
caution. Yes. And, yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. I love you, Andy, and I love how your mind works.
I love you too. I bought a couple extra minutes. Does that get through enough of the list, or do you feel complete?
I think enough, to see that it's, I mean, my big thing was just like, oh, well, no, okay, my last question. I know tons of people who would probably identify themselves as progressive, but you're the person I know who's like most actively involved with like progressive movements and act like, in many ways, like you're part of a proposed revolution. With I think the same goal, a shared goal that we all have, which is like reduction of harm. But since you are that person, my question is like, is anyone talking about this? Like this proposal that people are actually trying to like this is a revolution of how language has functioned, at least throughout our entire lifetimes. I would propose probably since the Enlightenment, for probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, post-slavery, slavery is, post all sorts of harms that we'd already invented. But certainly in an era filled with like some pretty stark malevolence, as we've become in a more advanced society, able to conduct ourselves more darkly, or darkly on a larger scale, I should say. But is anyone internally talking about this, the fact that this is a revolution of language itself that is actually underpinning, I would say, I don't even know, like a vast number of the general arguments have required this revolution sort of be agreed to implicitly? Or is it so fundamental that no one's talking about it?
I don't hear many people talking about it explicitly.
Yeah.
And I think the people I've gravitated to are, especially in like the DEIB space, people I really respect, are gentle about it. They're not the ones going around beating everybody over the head and saying you must adopt this new definition and that's the only way, and if you're not doing that, you're the bad guy. No. There is some definitional work, which it'd be interesting to review some of that from peers I consider more gifted and up to date than me.
Mm.
But I'm not nearly as plugged in as you are, I just feel like I'm scrambling to even catch the headlines most of the time. But no, just casually in spaces I'm in, is anybody? No, I mean, I've left spaces that There was basically like this: to belong here, you adopt this script and you adopt this dictionary.
Yeah, the creed. Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, there's just no room here for questioning
Yeah.
that or considering that in a
Yeah,
more
that makes
thoughtful
sense.
way. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, cool. That was my last question. And I hope maybe because of this episode of Totally Classic, more people start talking about it. Because I think the more we talk, the more we communicate. I know not everyone's a talker. The more we communicate, the more we understand. And I think the farther from conflict we are. That's my hope. Love you, brother.
Love you too.